Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this October 25th day, 2020. Wow, it's really going fast, isn't it, the year? It's been a very difficult year for a lot of us, hasn't it? I mean, you can't even describe the kind of difficulties we've been through this year and what it's all meant to us. And it's something personal for each and every one of us. So when we look at our lives and we look at what's going on, we have to look at all sorts of elements of the inability to abide in some kind of calming presence within us. We are looking desperately for some authority figure to bring us out. And in sociology, an authority figure is one who emulates some kind of influence over people to keep society in order, to keep them from panicking, or to bring them to war. You know, and everybody gets together and they come up with these authority figures I am speaking of, a reason why we should go to war and fight and kill and all of that other good stuff that, I hate to say it, Americans love. I mean, we make entertainment out of it, and we consider that being tough. So today, we're going to talk about power, how it is used as a force for personal violence, violence with human beings in general. I have been getting more and more of these kinds of emails about corruptness everywhere, not only in society, but in government and how it all works. I think people have lost a great deal in this pandemic. They've lost their sense of reality because their idea of reality was that everything was okay and that people who were authority figures would have everything under control. And I don't know where anyone gets this. I think one of the biggest tragedies is how basically stupid the American public is. Given to themselves without having to take responsibility for their own mind and how they use their mind, and they don't take care of the mind. They just allow it to be subject to all sorts of emotionality and things that spark emotionality, things that spark our DNA, one of them being authority, because we want authority. We want somebody to be in charge. It's a part of our primeval mentality that someone is going to lead the herd, the tribe, into defending its women, its children, its food, its caves, you know, the things, caveman thing. I'm trying to keep it really simple for you here because it is the thriving, pulsating kind of emotionality that is going on in our society today. And one of the things that people insist upon, they'll lie, cheat, and steal to have some kind of legitimacy in the notion of someone being in power, someone who is an authority figure who has the power of your life, my life, your family's life, everybody's life in their hands. And we've given that to government, which is a bunch of crazy people. So we're all crazy. I'm crazy. We're all crazy. So I have three questions here. I cannot express enough to you the courage it took for these people to write me, ask me questions, and I am no authority figure. I want to make this very clear. I have no credentials for authority at all. So I'm just sitting here speaking to you from another point of view. On a point of view of a spiritual awakening of not philosophy, not religion, but I guess you could say my own clarity in the situation. And by the way, this changes moment to moment to moment in me. And it, those of you who have been practicing in your life, you will realize and recognize it's changing moment to moment in you as well. So it, this keeps maturing in us like a flowering. And I want you to understand that. The first question comes from Susan in California. She asks, why is everyone so corrupt and not working together? Why are they afraid of, why aren't they afraid of God? We have created, Susan, a God. We have created it in the image and likeness of ourself and not vice versa. And though this is going on, it's been used by very clever people in both government and religion to control people, control their money, control their lives, control their loyalties, control everything to get to a place where they can control the people, subordinates. And this is the way it goes. And to be honest with you, really honest with you, most people want this. This is exactly how they want to live. I don't want to think for myself. I can't think for myself. I don't have time to think for myself. I don't have time to meditate or to become clear. I'm too busy in my social mischief to worry about all of this. Somebody else should do it. It's not my job. These are the things I hear, Susan. I hear it all the time when I'm out in the world. I hear it all the time when I talk to young people and go to their schools and talk to them and hear what they have to say. I'm just very curious about what young people have to say. Very, very curious. And all of them think the same way. They have their authority bias, as I call it. And they have the idea that someone smarter than them should be in place and should be handling the world, and they shouldn't have that kind of responsibility. So why is everyone so corrupt? You ask, Susan. It's because they're left to their human nature. Let me say this to you and hear me well. It is your human heart and my human heart that is the evil in this world. Our human hearts are bent and believe in nothing more and nothing less than survival at all costs. That is exactly what it's about. And the human heart can be hurt, broken, and bashed real easy. It also needs a lot of attention, and that comes often in the form of not only family and friends, but going to the movies and watching terrible movies that have nothing to do with the substance and the meaning of life itself. So you start to look at everything that we've done in our life, how we have lived in the sociology of this society, and we put people in power that are manipulative, and that's what we want. We want people that manipulate others for the sake of manipulating them in the fact thereof, thinking that we are getting our highest good, and we're not. You have to understand, the old saying is true, absolute power corrupts. So when you start looking at authority figures, you have to ask yourself, what is the authority figure in me? Where do I go to find whatever it is that's going to influence me and the authority of my livingness? Well, not many people are going to go to love. They're not going to go to silence, simplicity, solitude. They're not going to find their own inner way. They're just not going to do it. It's not in their abilities. anymore. They've lost it. We did not take care of our minds. We let our minds just, you know, go to the whims and the wills of other people who didn't have our best interests in mind. Now, if you can't see what's going on currently in government today in this election, if you can't understand the face that Donald Trump represents, the face of the emperor of all malice, if you can't see that and you just merely cling to the idea of an authority figure, you're lost. You need to see that you need to take back your own life. And that has nothing to do with rebelling against government. It has to do with rebelling against your own emperor of all malice. It means that I must replace my hatred with love. It means I must replace my greed with generosity. It means I must replace my unforgiveness with forgiveness. That's what it means. But people are not going to do that because their minds are based in needing an authority figure. They live out of society, not out of consciousness. And when I live out of what is popular in society, when I live out of the opinions of society, when I'm manipulating my life to form around society, I miss everything. I miss the meaning and the substance of my own existence. You ask me, why is everybody so corrupt? Because they've been given the idea that the American way, that democracy, which we are not and we never have been, that this republic, as it were, is based on the one who is most clever, the one who bucks the system, breaks the laws, does their own thing, that kind of mentality. And then you ask, aren't they afraid of God? If the only thing that makes you honest is your fear of God, you can't be an honest person. Because that's based in a premise of assumption. Cognitive dissonance, all sorts of things come into play with this ideal of God that we have perpetrated through the need to have an authority figure and to follow like sheep to the slaughter, which is what is happening. It is what it is, and it is what it is in this world. Buddha faced it in his lifetime. Jesus obviously faced it in his lifetime. And you and I are facing it in this world, in this lifetime. It is just a part of living here in this world. Be it as it may, so be it. Thank you, Susan. Please forgive me. Namaste. Please don't get the idea I'm a political person, because I'm not. I'm a person who sees the cause and the causations of human behavior. And I see it very clearly. And I'm not the only one that sees it. There are many, many much brighter people politically and socially than I am who see it as well. I am just sitting here abiding in my own inner being, watching all of this. And whether or not we come out of it as a society or not is not something that is in my control. My feeling is definitely that stupidity reigns supreme in the United States. I don't know about other countries, but probably there too. And I hold absolutely no hope for any of this to change, for the simple fact that we want to be led astray. We actually want it. The next one comes from Gail. She does not tell me where she lives. Who can we trust with all of this corruption? I don't know. Government is falling apart. Society is falling apart. What do we do about corruption? Gail, listen to me. This corruption you speak of, you have to find it in yourself. It isn't about government. It isn't about other people. I have to find my own corruption. Let me give you an example of it. Anytime I am doing something absent from the motivation of love, not the human heart love, authentic love, if I have not cultivated authentic love within me, I can only pride myself on my opinions. And when I do that, I make it ugly, ugly, ugly for me to live my life. In fact, I make it impossible to find the substance and the meaning of life because I'm so busy defending my opinions. So if you really want to understand the nature of your life and the meaning of your own livingness, you're going to have to learn to trust the authentic within you. This means your authentic heart, not your human heart. Your human heart will mislead you. It will be the, the patsy of the emperor of all malice within us. We are mean-spirited people. We don't want truth. We don't want clarity. We don't want any of that unless it fortifies our opinion, our predisposed opinion of whatever it is that we're looking at as far as truth is concerned. If you have a bias, a mental, emotional bias, a genetic bias, where you believe what your ancestors believed and how they lived in the whole idea and ideal of right and wrong, good and bad, how they legitimize the whole idea and notion of authority via power. You see, it's all about the power and influence a person can have over others that matters. And Gail, you might want to look at this in your own life. You might want to see, are you an authority figure, or are you the patsy to an authority figure? Have you looked in your mind and asked yourself, well, what am I a patsy to within myself? Is the influence of hate and fear more powerful than that of love, forgiveness, compassion? Probably so. Otherwise, this question of the corruptness of people, government, as you put in your email, would not be so stringent. You are convinced that other people are at fault. It is myself and you who are at fault because we have left ourselves under the influence, haplessly and with great stupidity, at the mercilessness of other people. And these people just merely want to bleed you to death in many different ways. It's with living in the confines of an authority that tells you what is right and wrong, good and bad, even what is real and not real. The old fake news thing. Anything of the truth is fake news. You really have to look at it as the emperor of all malice within you and me and everyone. What are we operating under? What are we defending? What is the basis for our life but that of just surviving? And thinking that in our effort to survive the way we want to survive, we are not deploying a chemistry within us, an energetic within us that influences other people to do exactly the same thing. In our society, it is monkey see, monkey do. That's exactly what it is. And anything that draws some kind of emotional response of right over wrong or good over bad, that wins. And that can be ruthless and mean-spirited. So you have to look at this, Gail, as a sport that you are participating in on your own. And you're living in this without knowing it. And with that being said, the question is, how do you override it? Well, you have to override it through simplicity, solitude, and silence. The whole idea of living in love, meditation, living quietly, abiding in a calm that is beyond the social revolution that everybody thinks they want, which is whatever their opinion can withstand. And that's what it's all about. Gail, I wish you well. You're highly opinionated, and I'm not here to say that's right or wrong. I'm here to say there's something other than your opinions, and if you would explore them, you might see something that would be helpful to your life as well as others. Please forgive me. Namaste. I chose the last one from Carrie. He says he lives in the Northwest, and he says, after a long, lengthy email about the corruptness of government and Mr. Trump and partisanship, political partisanship, yada, 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 all these things he goes into in nauseating detail about how corrupt and terrible everything is. Even our food, he talks about that, which is all true. And everything he said is factual. It is all factual. He says, now what? Carrie, I loved your email. I did. I love how detailed you were, how intelligently it was written. And you were not pushing a point other than the facts. You were just revealing facts and not formulating an opinion based on facts. And that, to me, is real intelligence. You don't need to formulate an opinion based on facts, because facts can change and people lie. You know, I mean, it's a constant lie out there in the world. What to do? I tell my students this. I tell you this. I have the same answer. It is very boring to you. I understand. But if it's not realized, oh my goodness. You have to learn to live simply, without the complications that your mind wants to make real. You have to listen to the simplicity of not pushing yourself beyond your mental and emotional acuity right now. You have to find out what that acuity is before you can go beyond it. You have to live in a solitude where you live quietly within yourself, not engaging in the craziness, the pandemic of all sorts of lies and manipulations of society and government. And then you have to enter into the silence every day, quietly listening, wanting nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha taught. Now, if you can do those three things, then you will see what to do. It will become very apparent what needs be done. You will not have thoughts anymore. You will have impressions, and you will be impressed. You will see what needs to be done, and you will be immediately impressed as to what to do. That is extremely important. You will live in a calmness. You will abide in a calmness. The propaganda of right and wrong, good and bad, will no longer be impressive to you. You will start to see things in the order of how they are. You will start to recognize the order of life. You will understand what you can change and what you can't change. And you will abide in what you can change by being kind, forgiving, generous. You will spread love rather than hate. You will want love more than wanting to abide in what you hate and fight for right. You will start to see the meaning of life. They'll call you passive. They'll call you socialist. They'll call you all sorts of names. But, you know, they have that freedom to do that. Yours is to let love live you. I'm out of here. Gotta go. Carrie, thank you for your beautiful email. I will treasure it always. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.